views, information, or opinions expressed during Angel Answers with Amy Toys series are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily are the opinions of those of the host, BBS Radio, and its affiliates and its producers. The show, its host, BBS Radio, and affiliates, and its producers are not responsible and does not verify the accuracy of any of the information contained in the series. The primary purpose of this series is to educate and inform. This series does not constitute medical, legal, or other professional advice or services. The series is available for private, non-commercial use only. Any portion of this series may not be copied, reproduced, or edited without written consent by the host or its producer. And good evening, everyone. My name is Amy Toy. I'm your host of Angel Answers with Amy Toy. I am privileged and honored to have a guest named Darlene Miller, who is got a very interesting story about being called Mama. Welcome, Darlene. How are you today?
I'm doing really well, thank you, here in Colorado. It's beautiful. We've just had a nice little rain shower, and things are looking very shiny right now. Chris.
Colorado, I've heard, is beautiful. I've never been out west yet, but I will be one day.
Well, it is something that that I know, having lived around the United States and in many foreign countries with my husband being in the military, this is the most perfect place for me. Not everybody, but for me.
Yeah, that's correct. Yes, just like Florida is for me. I moved here from Buffalo, New York 2 years ago, so I love it down here.
Oh, you did?
Yes, it's a beautiful, we have to make ourselves happy, you know, and right now this is my home, and I do not plan on leaving it in the foreseeable future. So, Darlene, tell us a little bit about yourself, and what is your background? I like to tell people, let's get to the basics here.
Okay, right, cut right to the chase.
Yeah.
Well, my background has been varied in that I started very young being a caregiver for my family. And I have always believed that we have to look at the donut and not the hole. We've got to come up with what makes us happy, what gives us joy. And the one thing that I pursued in my life was being a teacher. I am a degree teacher, but what I teach now is different than the elementary school kids that I taught a while ago. And I'm very in touch with energy. I'm in touch with the spirituality of life, and I really want to reach out and bring my message in creating a community of loving joyfulness.
I love that. That is so awesome. And I love your energy. It's so calming and nurturing. And, you know, I'm already feeling that as I'm interviewing you. And which leads me to my next question. Why do people call you Mama?
Yes. You got a week? No.
55 minutes.
That's right. Well, I have three children, and my two daughters and my son. My son is a singer with Il Divo. I don't know if you know that group, but they are an amazing group of four people put together by Simon Cowell, and I'm giving a little commercial for them. But they've been together 13 years, and they have a song that they sing called Mama. The first time I heard them do this many years ago, my son came downstage and I was in the audience in the first row, and he gave me a rose. Now, from that experience, everybody that was there began to call me Mama. So I've had that moniker now for quite a while.
Wow. I love that. That's a good that's a good name to have. It fits you and suits you very well, from what I'm sensing. You know, it just suits you very well.
Well, thank you. It's about nurturing, and it's about living in the heart, which I knew a long time ago that was going to be very important for me, having three children, and they're 5 years apart, 4 or 5 years apart. And living in and around different areas of the world with my husband, who's military, as I said before, we had a chance to move and get to know so many people. And I had to be the stable part of the family because he was gone much of the time. And so my children became my focus pretty much. Mm-hmm. So, of course they called me Mama.
Yeah. I never could have my physical children, but I have fur children. So, You know, Mama is, Mama Kitty Cat here. You know,
right.
That baby.
Right,
we can
right.
be mothers in other ways, you know, we can be nurturers in other ways, and sometimes I feel like some of my clients are my children. So
Absolutely. I mean, and we do nurture one another when when we listen. You know, people want to be heard, people want to be seen, and people want to be loved. And that's really three characteristics of the mother image, I think. Because she lives in the heart, she listens, she sees you, and she loves you for who you are. And I do believe that's the broad definition of Mama.
Yes, living from the heart is very important. And you have created an interesting, it's called the Wisdom of Evolution, or WE. Why did you create that?
You know, I have been watching the energy on the planet become more and more fearful, more aggressive. I mean, we've got all kinds of situations around the world. And since I've been teaching holistic health for 45 years, the focus of that is creating balance. And right now, it just doesn't seem like we have very much balance on the planet. The masculine energy is the doingness. It's the aggressive part. It's the feeling of having to make things happen. So about 10 years ago, I started looking at that, and I said, you know, this doesn't fit. This just doesn't fit. There's no balance in our livingness. So... So the balance of the masculine energy, of course, is the feminine energy. And where does the feminine energy live? But in the heart. And it is the compassionate energy. It's the listening energy of the people that need to be heard. It's the softness. And that exactly, together with the masculine energy, creates a wholeness. So I created the Wisdom Evolution because I wanted people to come together. I wanted people to know how to be in this world and how to relax and how to enjoy a calmness that would allow people to connect with one another on a very deep level. And the energy is where I have lived most of my life and trying to sort through patterns of energy. And so for me, the Wisdom Evolution is creating a community where we, W-E, will thrive, will grow, will be enfolding both the masculine and the feminine energy. So that's the reason why I thought it was important to focus there, because this is, right now on this planet, is a moment of birth. It's a moment when we can begin something anew. It is an evolution where we don't have to accept all of this aggressive energy that is the doingness of the planet. So if we can do a little bit of our nurturing ourselves and being Mama to ourselves, yes. That is the feminine energy. That is creating the balance. So it's masculine, feminine coming together in a community of support for one another.
That is so important, and, you know, brings me to one of my personal crusades, which is self-care, taking care of ourselves. We as women, we take care of everybody else but ourselves,
yes.
And then we wear ourselves down, and it's not being selfish, it's being self-care, because if you can't take care of yourself, you can't take care of anybody else. You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
So yeah. Definitely.
So we do have that super need right now. It is apparent. And if we do not open our hearts to embrace who we are and connect with other people and accept and say, I'm okay and you're okay, and that was a philosophy from a long time ago.
Oh yeah.
But right. We have to transform this energy. We have to. And it's becoming a passion for me right now. I mean, having taught many years, this is giving me a cause that is greater than I could ever expect. So I want to talk to people. I want to be part of groups. I want to open that doorway for people to know there are little things they can do to just breathe, to just go into that place of quiet and lift that aggressive energy into a more balanced place.
Oh, exactly. That's what we're doing. Like you said, the masculine and feminine energies are being balanced out. So
Yes.
Very important. Oh, yes. And I think, I don't know if you're into astrology, but we recently had a horrible Venus retrograde, which really, I thought, shook me to my core. And a lot of my clients were calling me and saying, Amy, I'm ready to jump off the bridge. I'm like, well, if you're calling me, you're not jumping off a bridge today. Okay?
There you go.
So,
I love it.
yeah, because, you know, but I feel like now we've gone through that, you know, really our feminine energies are balancing out because some of us are out of balance, you know. And is that what you think, is that the vision, part of your vision for your organization, you think?
Absolutely. That's hitting it right where I live and where I hope people will begin to live, and that is to do that balancing act. And, you know, I have very, very simplistic exercises to help that. And all of our experiences from the yesterdays of our life bring us to this moment in time. It is total presence right now of the balance. So, I'm hoping that I'm going to be able to get people to share their stories along with my own story, so we can become that community of togetherness where we will know the balance. And no matter what's happening, we can take a breath, we can close our eyes, we can be just for a moment in time, we can be calmer, we can be within our own selfness. And I don't know if that's a word, but our own self-awareness that will reflect back into the body. And every time we do that, we walk forward in better health, in a better emotional place, and just being with other people on that same timeline, on that same frame of mind, is going to give us all support.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and Lord knows we need it all now. We need.
Well,
it.
You know that's so very true. I've been, I've been into so many philosophies. As a matter of fact, my children every time I started something new, Ayurveda or meditation or exercise programs or yoga or whatever, my children would say, "Oh God, here we go again."
So, well. There's nothing wrong with being a seeker.
Yeah, well, that's true. It's led me to where I am today. And I feel like all of my yesterdays and everyone else also those yesterdays are blessings to us. We have to look at them as such and move forward with that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So we have to let go of fear. We have to let go of the fear.
Yes, and that's so important. And I feel as a society, it's almost like we're going through this fear detox, this fear mentality that we're detoxing from. And do you think that's part of your purpose as well, is to tell
Absolutely.
People detox from this negativity that has been inflicted upon us from our childhoods, from generations?
Yes, absolutely. And in my generation, the key phrase was, children are to be seen and not heard.
Oh, yes.
And for many, many years of my life, I didn't think anything I said was important because it was part of the philosophy of the family. You know, you sit there with your little gloves and your last and you sit in church, and I spent all day every Sunday in church to the point where I would fall asleep in the pews. But I was seen, and I didn't say much because I didn't think it was important. Personally, I didn't think I had anything important to say. But today, it's a different story.
Yes, I grew up with a family that invalidated what I had to say, because usually what I said was pretty straightforward. And yeah. I would say it and not think about saying it, you know. And I feel that now that I've gotten to a certain age, it's like, I don't care what you think. I'm going to say it. Your reaction is not my problem anymore. And I think that's so important, you know, when you've grown up, like you said, children who are seen and not heard. And I grew up with that, too. But yet I had a grandmother who encouraged me to speak my mind, because she was like, you're pretty much right on with what you have to say. I think that's
all right.
Yeah.
you're very lucky to have that support, you know, as a child. I think we have grown into letting that seen and not heard concept go. But right now we have to listen to the inner wisdom of the heart, and the heart knows. It's the first organ that is created. It knows instantly what is right. We just don't take the time to listen.
No, it doesn't. No, we don't. And and I think more so with your purpose, your passion, you know, is going to bring out that with other people. So that's really cool. That's really good.
Well, we can't. Fear separates us. You know, it really, in my opinion, it creates a separation that is so powerful because it sounds like I'm right and you're wrong. Where we have to include other people's ideas in creating a more balanced lifestyle, in creating an expansion. And it's through all the wisdoms that are here on the planet. We all have a passion that we're trying to express. And that's what the wisdom evolution for me is focusing on.
What would you say to those people, though, that who have very extremist ideas? You know, that want to say, you're white, I'm black, or, you know, the white, you know, like I have a friend of mine, she's a darling, and, you know, there's white supremacy all around her. What would you say to somebody who's a white supremacist who has this idea of separation, which it is, really?
Well, I can only attest to what I have seen in my lifetime, and everyone has their own idea about living their life to their fullest. And in my estimation, I can only set forth a certain amount of ideas, and through communication, it's possible that there will be a shift. But without communication, there's affinity, there's reality in communication. Okay, so the realities of people are different. But the minute we start to communicate about them, there is that aha moment when we can say, oh, yeah, I hear that. I understand it. And never will I ever try to force anything. I don't think we get very far with that.
Right. Exactly.
But to listen to someone speak. Like I said, people want to be heard. They want to be seen, and they want to be loved. So with that affinity, we can create a reality of communication that is much more powerful than we've ever witnessed before. So it's not a matter of force. It's a matter of gently listening to people. It's a matter of acknowledging that they have something to say. And, you know, you really can't change anybody's minds unless they want the change.
Exactly. It was just, I don't know, that question popped in my head. Sometimes I do that. I'll get these questions that pop in my head because I just talked to her about that. Yeah. And
well,
you,
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Well, I've lived in different places in the world, like in the Philippines. I have traveled in the Far East, in Turkey and Egypt and many of those places, and they all have something to say. And all they want is, and hopefully not forcefully, but to sit down and say, I want to listen to what you've got to say. So I'm very supportive of other people's ideas and ideals.
Very good. Very good, yes. And speaking of your idealisms, what is the name of your book?
Well, the name of my book is called Yes, It Really Is All About Me.
Really, it is. I didn't know that. No, just kidding.
being a caregiver in my lifetime and among other hats that I have worn, caregivers tend to nurture everybody else but themselves. Mm-hmm. And they go through this pattern of whatever you want out there, I'm there to serve you. But in reality, and I learned this through the years, in reality, we have to serve ourselves as well. Because without the support that we give to ourselves, without the knowledge that we need to be quiet sometimes, we need to have that alone time, we need to have those special foods that nurture us, without that, we're not really nurturing that spirit, that soul energy, even the heart there. Mm-hmm. So I wrote this book with a design to share with caregivers as they look at themselves and nurture their own belief systems. And it was created as a workbook, and it is, you can write in the book, but what I thought was originally for Alzheimer's patients and caregivers of those wonderful people, you can create a diary out of Yes, It Really Is All About Me, because they start to talk about their lives as a young person. And the questions in the workbook really allows them to open up and be really who they were in the past. So really it's a connection with families, with caregivers, with nurses, with doctors, whatever. It's a connection with the loved ones that really is set forth in a legacy. You know, my father, my mother passed away, and all of a sudden my children said, Mom, I don't really know Grandma and Grandpa. I didn't know them then, and I don't know them now. But so that got me to thinking that maybe we need to make those connections from one generation to the other so that it is an ongoing legacy, and there's a love that continues through that awareness.
Oh, definitely. I mean, the reason why I also do this show is because I like to get to know people, where they've come from and how they got to where they are to now. And mm-hmm. You know, growing up too, I had the honor and privilege of with my grandparents really trying to understand them. You know, hearing mm-hmm. their stories, getting to know them as individuals, their struggles, their triumphs, their victories. Yeah, and mm-hmm. it's interesting because you look at them, you're like, yeah, Grandma's coming over for the weekend. My grandma and grandpa used to come over for the weekends and, you know, for Christmas and stuff like that. And I really got to know them. I'm like, who are these people? I just want to know who they were.
Who are these people?
And I got to know them. Yeah. And my mother even would say to me, you know, stories that I don't even know. I'm like, yeah, damn straight I do. You know, in the same way. And it sounds like your book kind of brings that out. And, you know, people forget that they were, you know, we see the elders of our families, or, you know, aunts and uncles and cousins, and, you know, they used to be young too. They just
Absolutely.
Didn't come all wrinkly overnight. Sorry.
That's right. Well, as a child, I grew up with my grandparents and my mother. My father was in the war, and I never saw him. And I got to know my grandparents from a different perspective. However, when I had my children, there was a big separation where we would see them maybe once every 3 to 6 months because we were military and we traveled in different parts of the world. So my children never had a chance to really get to know their grandparents. And that was another reason for creating Yes, It Really Is All About Me, because from that you inspire the generations to talk to one another, to communicate, to say, okay, what did you do whenever? And that timeline is set up through this book that I created, and had hoped that it would just be a legacy for families and or caregivers along the way.
Yeah, that's so true. I mean, I've witnessed, unfortunately, my own family, my dad, sick for 2 years. And I actually got to know him during that time on a personal level. And
that's beautiful.
It is, I mean, for me. And it was a gift. And, you know, it was interesting because he was such a... He was a tough man growing up. He was very stern, and he didn't want you to know anything about him. But as he got older, I was honored and privileged to get to know him. And it was really
well.
Cool.
And that's the beautiful part about the connections that we have on the planet. And as time has passed, I have seen the separation so much of people's ideals. And there isn't that when I was younger. There were people talking to one another over the back fence, and they would go for walks together, and they would spend holidays together. In where I have been in my life and my family's lives, people aren't doing that so much anymore, and I kind of miss it. It was really something that was so supportive, because you could go to your neighbor's house and know that they were there for you if you needed them.
Exactly. Let's shift gears a little bit. How did you know you were a healer?
Well, this is an interesting story. Do you have a week?
No. 55 minutes. No, God, that's going to be my stock answer to you.
Right. Well, I escaped in my young life through for fantasy of wanting to be a concert pianist, for wanting to act on the stage, and also to be one of the female baseball players on the planet. Now, yes, right, which was absurd at that time, for heaven's sake. But I played all the sports as a young person. It started when I was probably fourth or fifth grade. And I played football, basketball, baseball. Baseball was my love. And
really?
So when I was in junior high school, I was on a team, and we were playing in the finals, and we were playing on a gravel surface. And I hit the ball and slid into second base and got bloodied and bruised really badly. I've never slid anywhere, so I don't know what made me do it. So anyway, they took me inside. They cleaned me up a little bit. And all of a sudden, there were welts that were coming up on this area on my thigh. And the first thing I knew to do was put my hand there. And it started to turn black and blue.
Ooh.
And so I put my hand there, and I just sat there and crying a lot, and knowing that my mom was probably going to hit the roof when I got home. But anyway, I took my hand away probably half hour, 45 minutes, and my fingerprints were in the bruise. And it scared me a lot. And I went home, and I told my mother, and she looked at me and said, "Don't ever, ever tell that to anybody. They will think you're a witch." But that was the turning point energetically for me, because from that point on, I started looking at what this meant. Now, at my developmental stage, I didn't know anything about the word healing. I had no clue about that. But everything that happened after that, as I began to grow in my knowledge, and academics were important, so, you know, I put the healing thing aside until I got married, basically. But I knew at that point I was different, and I didn't know who to tell. I didn't know who to tell. So I kept that inside, and until that time came when I was able to experience Reiki and the reconnection energy and all of the things that have supported that healing energy in me.
Yes, and I used to, one of my aunts had rheumatoid arthritis when I was growing up, and I intuitively, instinctually knew to put my hands on her, hands on healing. And she would always say to me, she's like, I don't know what you do, but would you do that thing? You place your hands, you know, and I'm like, okay, because she would feel so much better. And I did that with my father, too. Yeah, and I did that with my father, too. And as I got older and after my second near-death experience, I did healing on even animals. And I learned that, too. So it's interesting how we just instinctually know how to do that. It's like a friend of mine used to explain it this way to me, and maybe some of our listeners in the audience can relate to this. When you are injured or when you bruise yourself or when you injure yourself, you instinctually know to put your hands on it.
Yes. And fortunately, you were able to know that as well. You know, you didn't know what was going on probably, but you knew that it was working for that other person. Because I didn't know what was going on. And I didn't want, and the reason why my mother said I couldn't tell anybody was because she would lose all of her friends, thinking that I was, you know, something that was in some spooky realm of being a witch. But, you know, that was really my first experience at knowing that there was a different energy in me.
Yes, it is. It's amazing. Because it feels like to me you went through becoming a mother, you know, wife and a mother too, and all that stuff. And did this reemerge for you after you got past all that, or was that while you were married? Or okay.
Yes, it did. And you know, it was quite interesting because as I look back, Amy, it wasn't until my son was born that it reappeared because he had broken his arm. I took him to the hospital, and I can remember the doctor's name and everything, coming in there and taking x-rays of him, and he is just so frightened. And what I did was hold his arm and try to calm him down with one hand and just hold his arm with the other, because it was his elbow that was broken. And so the doctor came in and gave us the information after the x-rays were taken, and she said, you must be in a lot of pain. And he said, no, I'm not. He's 7 years old. And she said, you've got to be kidding. He said, no, my mother took it away. Well, this was a doctor 35, 40 years ago who just hysterically laughed. She thought that was just hysterical. And I understood it after that. I understood that the medical profession at that point in time didn't really connect with energy healing. So that
no,
was the
they
next
don't.
Time.
Yeah. No, they still don't, I don't think, some of them.
Right. It's a big topic. I mean, they don't teach that in medical school. Well, they might now. I think Duke University does some of that, but it's not a big topic. It's all about other kinds of medical information. It's all about the physical. It isn't about the energy of it.
No, it isn't. But you know, I'm hoping that changes with shows like this. That to me, you can go to the doctor to get diagnosed, but sometimes a really good healer can do the physical mind, body, and spirit connection and help in other ways. And that's what I've used in my personal life. My own philosophy is, I'll go to the doctor, but I know where my healer lives too. And if there's an issue I need to work out, I'm going to work it out, whether I need to get my head scanned or not. You know.
Well, you know what? I so understand that. You know, a lot of my friends are really very adamant about, you got to get the doctor's report. You got to do, and I do it just to know. But you know, there are things that we must do intuitively that we feel are appropriate for where we are in our health patterns. And so, yeah, I'll just give you another story about this energy here. And I was diagnosed with a very large cyst on my ovary, and it was one thing that my family said, you've got to go get removed. And I promptly said, please let me do it my way first, and then we'll see. So sitting in the sun, doing meditation, going into my own energy, I used my hands at that time to just relax and just, you know, just feel my energy penetrating into that area on the right below the navel. And all of a sudden, I knew something had changed. So on Monday, I went in to get checked to the doctor, and he said, it's not, the cyst isn't there anymore. So that was another affirmation for me, and confirmation that there was something that I needed to really look into and investigate.
Mm-hmm. Yes, recently I had not exercised in a while, so I developed a hernia.
Oh,
and you know, they say, you know, you got to watch it and that. So I did a lot of hands-on healing. It's healing up. I had two little hernias. I got one now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's slowly healing, because they say, oh, you need surgery. And I don't believe in to be cutting into. I've had a couple surgeries in my life. And you know, I feel that the human body can heal itself. Visualization, closing up the muscle wall, you know, I know anatomy, I can go in there. And I'm not saying that's for everybody, but for us, you and I, that's what works.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
that's
what works for me. And like I said, I have a healer friend that I go to, and she clears all the stuff. And, you know, I have a healer, and I have a counselor, and what I teach others is what I have done on myself. And it sounds like you have as well, which is good.
Well, really, yeah, and I hear and feel your comments here, and I know what it's like to make decisions. And I have to go back to it. It truly is our choice. It's truly our decision. And whatever seems to be comfortable that is working, you go forward with, but never letting the Western medicine go. Totally,
exactly.
Because they are vital in our medical education. They are vital,
most definitely. And you know, my personal philosophy or your philosophy is not necessarily, you know, the opinion of others, but this is my experience and that's your experience. And sometimes, even if you are going to a doctor, like I know I have a friend of mine who used to go to hospices and help with the hands-on healing, just to help with the chemo or the morphine or whatever, just so they could transition a lot easier.
Nice.
You know, so you can use the energy work or the healing modalities, and it can help you in different ways for support. And that's what I tell my clients, you know, go to your doctor, get diagnosed. I can tell you to kind of look at something, but I'm not a doctor. I am not, you know, a licensed medical professional who can prescribe. Or I can tell you tell your doctor you're feeling like it's this. But, you know, and usually I'm right, because I'm like feeling like, you know, maybe you need to check this out. But, you know, you need to go under your own discretion and your own wisdom and your own intuition. And, you know, if a doctor's treating you, that's great. But, you know, that's just my philosophy. So, and speaking of chaos, sometimes we have healing, we need healing in life's crises or chaos. What is a good method for healing life's chaos, in your opinion?
Well, I am very strong in this philosophy, in that it's also part of the feminine energy, which is the meditation. I would not be where I am today without spending days, every day, some part of my day in meditation. And that chaos becomes less and less, formidable in myself. I don't need to do anything personally in my own nurturing, that does not speak to me. And meditation, a good diet, some exercise, like even walking around the block, deep breathing is how I bring that energy into a calmer place. So there's not that kind of chaos that sits there in my heart and is connected to panic. Even though I've gone through those days, I truly have. But right now, it's the evolutionary process of knowing how to nurture the self. Every morning before I get out of bed, I do an affirmation for myself. And I do Reiki on myself every morning. I also do deep breathing exercises. And I do several little exercises when I walk before I even get dressed in the morning. I just walk across the floor on the inside of my foot, on the outside of my foot, on my heels and on my toes to start that energy in the foot moving up my body. And the breath is a possibility for all, well, it is, we have to have breath, but anyway, the visualization of that breath coming up the spine and into the head and then down the front of the body is such a huge connection for me in knowing how to manage and nurture what my day is like. And I always ask, what do I need to do for myself today? And this is a first, because, you know, when you have kids, you just don't ask yourself what you need, because there's one of them is crying in another room or saying, feed me, so this has not been my norm, but it has evolved into this, in that I'm listening to what my body is telling me on a regular basis.
Yeah, which is true. I do integrated energy therapy, which is angelic healing. And I know some personal techniques with that. Reiki, I am a Reiki master, but it never resonated with my being, more of the angelic realm. And I have ritual every morning. Oh, my gosh, I have a lot of rituals. I'm sitting here for half an hour doing a lot of things. But it helps bring me to align me with Source. But it also aligns me with Source and who I am. And it grounds me. And if I'm too rushed that morning, if I don't have, if like I have to make time, like I'll have clients lined up, I have to make sure if I don't do those rituals, I've noticed my day is all messed up. It's chaotic.
Yes, and chaos. It's chaos. Yeah. Yes. And I totally agree with you. When I have to, and I have to be at an appointment at 8 o'clock in the morning, and I have an hour to get there, I'll sometimes jump up and get ready to go and forget a couple of little things that bring the energy down. So while I'm driving, all of a sudden I'll feel that nervousness and that panic of all the traffic. And I think to myself, oh, there's something you missed today. So I'm having to practice that more and more as the many people are moving into Colorado.
Yes, exactly. And well, living, I work from home, so that's good, but sometimes I want to sleep in. I love my sleep. I just, it's my, you know, and I try to get my 9-10 hours every night. People think, oh my God, that's a lot. But when you do energy work and you do readings, you need it.
Yes.
And so, you know, sometimes I want to sleep in, and then I have my spirit guide saying, no, time to get up, Amy. Time to get up. You got to get going. All right. Okay. So.
That's great.
That's how I start my morning, and my spirit guide saying, "You got something going, Amy." You know. So anyway, what you mentioned this term before earlier in the interview, but what do you mean by the moment of birth?
Oh, yes, the moment of birth. Well, you know, birth is defined for all intents and purposes when something really begins. It's not about bringing a life into the world. It's about that moment that is the beginning point of origin in our lives. When we experience a new beginning, that is a point of such magical birth. And it's truly a precious moment that's absolutely irreplaceable. It's uplifting and it creates a new path, and there's a great amount of hopefulness that goes with that moment. And we can't know exactly when it's going to be there. We can't predict it, but we instantaneously feel its impact. It's that aha moment. It's like that moment when I created different kinds of products in my life. When I look at it and I say, oh my gosh, that was from that spark inside that says you just brought forth something amazing. And that's what I call the moment of birth. And I'm using it more and more as I write, because I do believe it's that moment of hopefulness when something new evolves and you're feeling good about yourself. You're feeling the evolution of a new product or a new concept or a new philosophy. So that's what I call the moment of birth.
That's amazing. I like that terminology. I may steal it. No, I'm just kidding.
That's okay. That's okay.
You heard it here, folks. I have permission. Why do you feel it's so important to learn and understand about holistic health, energy, and balance? Why do you think that's such a crusade for you? I'm hearing the word crusade.
Yeah, the crusade has been ongoing for me in that when we create a balanced mind-body-spirit, which is holistic health to me, when we're eating the kinds of foods that nurture, when we are thinking the kinds of things that give us light, a lighter feeling, when we are feeling that feminine energy of the heart, when we're connected to that loving aspect, we are looking at a lift in our energy. That's the mind, body, spirit. That's the holistic access for me. And when there are times when people say, okay, we have to go here, we have to do this, we have to, I kind of go into a retreating moment and I ask myself, is this a good place for me to be? Is this a good choice for me? So holistic health is a balance of the energy within and around you. It's the balance of the foods. Without eating a ton of sugar, you know that you have to eat other kinds of things. And it's the mindset. It's how you feel about different kinds of things that are happening and people that are surrounding you in your life. So I feel that gives us an energy of letting go, letting completely go, and being joyful, because when that holistic feeling comes in and you know you've done all you can do for yourself, there is that feeling of just a lightness and giggly, you know, if I can use that word. And I have just given that a lot of thought about the holistic direction. And once again, my children will say, oh, here we go again. But I have tried throughout my lifetime to give my children a kind of holistic approach to life. And I feel like they've really gained so much from just knowing. They don't have to follow it, but they know what makes them feel better.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And sounds like you were a good you know, paternal motherly figure example.
Well, thank you. Thank you. That's very nice to hear.
Yeah.
There were times.
There were times I wanted to, you know, they wanted to smack me, but I...
Right.
I'm just kidding.
Right. Well, you know, you have to do what you feel is right. And, you know, not to go along. I never went along with the crowd. I mean, my mother probably would have come after me in some form, whether it be in mind or physical. But she was very, very strict on me. So I had to constantly ask when I was younger, is this the right thing for me to do? And I believe that's a holistic way of looking at life as well. If things feel right, if you feel that heart connection with yourself and with others, if you're doing everything you can to be in a balanced condition, I think that's very important.
Mm-hmm. It is. And are there any influential people in your life who have helped shape your philosophies?
Well, you know what? I think everyone, and I thought about this and have been for quite a while, but everyone in my life, including parents and grandparents and friends from the very moment that I was born, because I lived in a house with a lot of people, so I'm used to a lot of people being around me. But I listened and I watched very clearly. Every teacher that I ever had in elementary school and high school and college, every one of them made some contribution. And then, I had teachers like Wayne Dyer and Carolyn Mace and Deepak yes. Chopra and Jean Houston. I took all of those classes, and they were very influential in opening up to new patterns and new ways of looking at life. Mm-hmm. So all of them, I cannot discount anyone. And even those people that were the bullies in my life, and I had several bullies that used to run after me to school, and I'd be scared and I'd be hiding and I'd hide behind trees and rocks and because I didn't want to encounter them. But I was 5'2" and I weighed 160 pounds and I was a very chubby little kid and everybody made fun of me. And it would just horrify me. But I realized if I wanted to make a change there, I had to change my attitude about myself. And
right.
that didn't come until I was in junior high school. I mean, I just kept eating. it was an eating frenzy. But I found that, it was my health was being jeopardized, and my emotions were also being attacked. So I had to do something. I had to really be on guard all the time, waiting, looking over my shoulder to see who was coming after me. And I thought, this is stupid. This is really stupid. So my bullying days stopped when I started really participating in sports, and I didn't care what they said because I knew I was really happy inside.
Yes, and that's important. Well, darling, we're coming to a close here, unfortunately.
Okay.
But tell people where they can find you. What's your website? How can people find you on Facebook? And the name of your book again.
Right. Well, my name is Darlene Miller, and you can find me on Facebook there. And my web address, I have had this for probably 6 or 7 years, is One Heartbeat, spelled O-N-E, oneheartbeatworldwidecommunity.com. And it has a lot of interest. Excuse me? What? oh, I thought you said something.
No.
So,
no.
So that... No? Okay. Well, I'm hearing things again, you know. And it has a lot of, interesting stories about how we can all come together in this lifetime. And my email address that I'd love to speak with anybody on email is iamaheartlight@gmail.com. And I will always answer your questions and give as much attention as I can to help connect with all those people out there that are interested. And the book that I have is, yes, it really is all about me. And I'm very confident that I'm beginning a new book very soon, and I'm excited for that as well. So as yet, the title of that book hasn't been narrowed, but I kind of have an idea.
Yes, we usually do, and especially when I'm birthing a new book. I will have an idea what I'm doing or a blog or something. But thank you, Darlene, so much for coming on today. It was Mama. We'll call you Mama. It was a pleasure, as always. And once again, this is Amy Toy, and this is Angel Answers. And if anybody needs me for readings or long-distance healing, amytoy.com. Thank you very much, and have a great day, everyone.